Good afternoon and welcome back to The Edge. Well, we've talked about art and events and painting workshops, all sorts of things already today. But now it's time to talk about books. And our reader this week is Sue Foster. She's going to be reviewing for us The Beginner's Goodbye by Anne Tyler. And I hope also sharing some other great reading recommendations. And as always, we love you to join us. What are you reading at the moment? Why not let us know? Pass on your recommendations to Alice. But a very warm welcome to Sue. Great to have you back in the studio.
Hi, Siobhan.
No food this week.
No food, sadly.
I know you're a great lover of recipe books, aren't you?
Exactly. Mm. No. Not today.
Not today. That's fine. That's all right. So you can feed us with this great book that you've going to review for us. As I said, it's called The Beginner's Goodbye by Anne Tyler.
Yeah. Talk us through it. It was released in 2012, so it is this year. And I have to say, Tyler, if you don't know her, she is an exquisite chronicle of everyday life. She writes effortless prose and brings just magnificent mundane situations of her characters to life. Okay, here we go. I'm trying to get near the mic. Sorry about that, guys. This story is basically about a man, and it is his everyday life. And the novel is woven to explore the themes of what happens to him.
Okay.
He's called Aaron Walcott. He's handicapped since childhood. He runs a family publishing company and basically edits beginner's guides.
Okay.
On a day like any other, Aaron goes to work, suffers from a horrid cold and is fussed around by his sister and his co-workers, comes home and falls asleep on the sofa. Later that afternoon, his wife Dorothy comes home, who's a doctor, 8 years his senior. And she's a plain-speaking, no-nonsense woman who refuses to mollycoddle her disabled husband. Sadly, they start bickering about some elusive biscuits that she's trying to find, end off sloping into different parts of the house. And sadly, there's a huge crack and a vast oak tree descends on the house.
Okay, right.
Now, this is where the book begins. It explores how Aaron, bereft, you know, the house a wreck, slowly comes to terms with the death of Dorothy. And he also has to face up to the reality that his marriage, although wasn't perfect, was still rooted in love. A central part of the process is that he continues to have encounters with Dorothy, who materializes in the oddest places.
Right.
And I think if anybody's lost anyone very, very close, that is what you want more than anything else in the world. You want just that briefest moment. And the story of grieving, it is of a grieving widower in search of solace and finding it through these strange encounters. Interestingly, Tyler also lost her husband in her mid-50s.
Oh, I see. So obviously she's talking from
experience. Well, she always says she's adamant that she doesn't actually draw from real life. But I have to say there is one part of it that Aaron says, you know, you do feel as though he's asking the same question. She says when her husband dies, I just don't understand. Where did he go? And it's just that moment. You just think, yeah. You know, that's what happens when you lose someone so close to you. It's like, but they were here. Now where's he gone? And Aaron says at one point, which again is very heartwarming, he just says, if only I could press the rewind button. And she's just a fantastic.
Especially, I would imagine, because they ended it on an argumentative note as well.
Well, that
doesn't
it.
Always
exactly.
even help.
And it's over something so pathetic. I mean, you know, my husband and I have had arguments about two pieces of bacon. You know, how stupid is that? But as all arguments are, they're not really about that. There was more to the depth of it. And that's what makes the book so interesting, because she is so perceptive. She's a real scratch and sniff writer. You know, if you just go into the characters, you feel as though you can, you know, they're funny, sad, sweet, flawed, but at the same time, they're all trying to carve a path through their life the best they can with all their triumphs and disappointments.
I mean, reading this, I mean, hearing your review of it, it sounds like it's very, very sad.
Well, it is. It's also got heartwarming moments.
Okay.
It's not all gloom and doom, I have to say. There are some very funny moments. I mean, one of them, which did make me smile, is he has a very lovely sister, who an older sister, who is not married. And she actually starts getting the old juicing machine out. It's been, you know, hidden in the cupboard for years.
Right.
But it turns out she learns that the man she's trying to woo is a reformed alcoholic.
Okay.
And so therefore she's experimenting with all these exotic, you know, fruit juices. And so there are lots of moments in it, which are incredibly funny. But it's what she does is she actually connects you with real life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she doesn't do dramatic, she doesn't do, you know, tense moments. But what she does is you can read her and feel that, yeah, no, I understand that, which I love. And there was another passage that I just touched my heart, actually, because it portrayed, basically, we've all been in this situation about how ill at ease we are, especially in the West. With bereavement, you know, we don't handle it terribly well. And basically, Aaron gets rung up by one of his mates, and they say, "Look, you know, we want to take you out for supper." And they spend the whole entire evening trying not to speak to about their
wife. Yeah. Don't mention it.
Don't
that's the best way.
The wife. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, but what happens? Of course, they both fall short and both fail so badly. But haven't we all been in those situations when you know that there's something uncomfortable?
It's like the elephant in the room, isn't it?
Elephant in the room. And you're trying desperately not to make the boo-boos. And of course we do, because that's human life.
Hmm.
You know, so it's just, I just think it's a fabulous read. And all her work, I mean, she is a Pulitzer Prize winner. She won this year the Times Literary Award.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, for excellence.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she is so highly regarded, and highly regarded also by male writers in, you know, like, it's gone out of my head now, but John Updike. I mean,
okay.
So many people just think she's fabulous because she can get down on paper so clearly. She has the clarity that not a lot of other writers can get to that depth.
It's quite interesting that she's also, as a woman, writing about a man.
Yeah, she does a lot of that.
Yeah.
She has the ability of just portraying the masculine psyche, perfect pitch.
Mm.
And a lot of men just, you know, rave about her. But I have to say, our lovely Matt...
Oh, yeah, Matt Cowdery.
Yeah. Has not read her, so I'm
okay,
absolutely...
Okay, we'll be passing that on to him next week, then. I think he's going to be joining us.
Yeah. So I've actually already said, good gracious, young man.
So it was a good read for you.
It was a very good read.
Wonderful.
And I also, because I loved it so much...
Oh, it's not too
I went
big
back.
Either.
Oh, no, no, no. It's,
oh, that's not
it's,
it.
That's not it. Hang on. It's here. It's that little one there.
Oh, so it's not actually...
No, she never writes more than about, you know, 300 pages.
Okay.
So it's all absolutely condensed. Great to put in a suitcase. The one before was Noah's Compass.
Okay.
Which I read Beginner's Book. I hadn't read that. Girlfriend bought it from London. I thought, right, I'll do that. Again, fantastic. I mean, just an observation of a man who has a fall and then starts to really assess his life.
So about a man again.
A man again. So that's why she's always very, very well received by the boys, I have to say.
Right.
So
it's not a chick.
It's not a chick lit. One. No, it's not, I'm afraid. No.
Well, fantastic. That sounds really good. You've definitely intrigued me, and knowing that she's got other books as well. So let's give you the name out again, if you're interested, if it's sort of caught your ear and thought you'd like to have a read. It's called The Beginner's Goodbye, and it's by Anne Tyler. And as Sue has mentioned, she also has... what's it called?
Noah's Compass.
Noah's Compass. Was that before that one, or is that second?
That's before.
That's before as well.
But she won the Pulitzer for Breathing Lessons. And in fact, The Accidental Tourist, which was done, I think, in about an 88, was made into an Oscar-winning film.
Yes,
yeah,
of course.
With John Hurt, and Gina Davis.
Uh-huh.
So she's done a lot of good stuff. And I can see this book, The Beginner's Goodbye.
Right, being the next film, possibly.
I really do.
I wonder if they write. I'm sure they do these days, because so many books are being made into films, aren't they? I wonder if the authors have in mind, you know, back
of
their
heads. I don't think she does. She's 71. She's been
Is
around.
She?
Oh yeah, she's been around the block. I think she writes purely for her own satisfaction and her own experiences in life. I mean, she had an interesting start because she was brought up in Quaker communes, and literally didn't go to school until she was 11.
Mm.
She's one of four children, and all the rest of her siblings are brothers. So that's why she's probably got a very good observation of men as well. And so, see, I don't know whether this is quite right, but they said in one review I read, she didn't wear shoes until she was 11. Do you know what I mean? She was just
a
free
simple
spirit.
Life, yeah.
And she says that her Quaker upbringing actually is what gives her that insight.
The imagination. And
yeah, and to actually observe human life.
Well, I mean, I suppose, without really knowing much about it, but I can see... Can certainly see why she would say that, because it's a very simple life, obviously, in that what I know. And, you know, I suppose we're so all wrapped up with technology, you know, everything is going buzzing around in our heads all the time. It's difficult to have some quiet reflection time.
And I think she is that sort of person. You know, all her books are set in Baltimore, literally, as she calls it, the wrong side of town. You know, it's just she's just a very simple woman trying to get her stories across about real people and real events.
Fantastic. Well, Sue, thank you very much for that. You've certainly caught my attention on those. I think there'd be some great reading recommendations if you're interested. Anne Tyler is the author. We'll be back after this quick break.